Hi, welcome to Two Non-Doctors. I'm Liz Mealy. Just that your light went off. It's just the sadness in your face as soon as it happened. It was just like, I can't, I, no.
I knew it was going to happen. It was precarious when I set it up and I was like, it'll be fine. I'm like, it's going to fall. Like, I'm arguing with myself. It's going to fall. And I was like, I don't give a shit. It's fine. It's fine. And then immediately, not even just during,
Yeah. Hi. And you're like,
hello.
cool. We didn't even get through the intro. Cool.
Did you say your name yet?
I said my name. If you ever want to say yours, it's we have time.
I'm Maria Shahada.
How's it going, cupcake?
Yeah, all right. Not bad. Good. Yeah, fine. I'm fine. How are you?
Sure, I'm fine.
Same thing.
Yeah, it's I don't know.
What's wrong?
It's in my Googles. We'll save it. I feel like shit.
Oh.
Yeah, all the
Oh.
time. All the time.
I am too tight for my fat genes, I guess we'll call them. You know, the genes that you have that you kind of save just in case you get fat again.
Yeah, that's that because you have your like I have my depression genes, right? Like I have the genes that when I was depressed and I stopped eating, I was like, well, at least this is something to be like 10% happy about. Like this is
Yeah.
exciting. And then as soon as you start feel better, you're like, well, I feel better and I have to like say goodbye to my depression genes. And then there's the like either depression or like life gets too busy genes. I don't want to call them fat genes. I call them like, you know, it's not a priority. You know what I mean? Like it's like, you know,
Non-prior genes.
yeah, non-prior genes,
And
I
your
think is
non-priority.
because, you know, and I think what's upsetting is that like for women especially, you have to kind of keep all three of those genes because you're always fluctuating. Like I was talking to my friend Amanda this weekend, and it's like only now, and probably a little bit because of this podcast, but a little bit because of just like some of the reading I've been doing, our hormones are constantly fluctuating. Guys are like, you know what I mean? They go through puberty, they're like, this is who I am, and they don't start dipping until they like get older and they start losing like testosterone. But
Yeah.
like women, it's like da 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 da. And then if you have a baby, it's like da 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 da. And if you take birth control, it's like da 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 da. And it's like you're a different person on Tuesday than you are on Friday. Like it's like insane. So it's just like I feel like you're like half dressing because your body is just like, well, you know, we're gonna retain all the water today. And you're like, this isn't the day. Like this is the
I'm
day to
supposed to look pretty
like.
today.
Yeah, you literally want to be like, hey, I don't care if you're going to be like up and down, but like, can I decide? It's like how I feel about having curly hair. Like, sure, you can be frizzy, but can I pick the day? Because it's always the day I don't want you to be frizzy.
You do sound like you're about to crack.
Oh,
Like,
I'm losing it.
yeah, I mean, I think it's just that I've quit everything and I've quit, like, I quit trying and I quit the gym. But
Did you
I
say?
quit the gym. You know, when you it's just you get out of it because you're traveling and it's hard to
Yeah.
get back in. It's so hard to get back in, and I haven't gotten back in yet. And just, yeah, I mean, yeah.
You
I
said
had to throw
something.
one pair of jeans away because the inseam split in
Yeah.
my thighs.
Yeah. And you're like, well, that's hurtful, and I'm not gonna learn to sew. You know what I mean? It's like I'm gonna learn a skill to be sad. I'm not doing that. I'm not learning that
That's
skill.
hurtful. It's so funny. No, you've made your position clear. We are not for each other anymore.
We're not friends anymore, and you don't want to be near me.
These jeans I almost threw away because, or like given to charity because they were so big that I was like, I'm never gonna need these.
Yeah, and I do. I really love that our genes have a personality. They're just like, you'll be back,
Yeah.
girl, you'll be back.
And I'm always
Yeah, as
back.
soon as he doesn't return your call, you'll be back. Dude, and it's funny because I'm on a like get rid of clothes kick. I've been on it for about like 8 months now. Cause you're somebody that you know how you don't see your own personality until it's like reflected back to you.
Yeah.
So like we'll either be on the road together or you'll come stay with me. and like you'll wear the same four things. And there's no judgment in that statement, by the way. You look good in them, you like them, and you'll wear it and you'll be like, I wore this for 2 hours. I'm going to put it back on. I'm exactly the same way. I think one, because of half the time I'm in leggings or my PJs for half the day, I shower and then I wear an outfit for all of 2 to 3 hours to go do shows. And then I'm like, I liked that outfit. I know how it goes together. We're going to, as long as somebody didn't take a picture, we're going to repeat that tomorrow. But like, and then like, I get a little frustrated when I'm on the road for a while because I'm often packing stuff that I can roll and keep tight and whatever. So when I come home, I'm like, I'm going to put it together some fancy outfits, but that lasts for all of 3 days. And then I go back to wearing the same four things. And I'm like, I get that I need like a dress if I go to a wedding and I need some stuff for like events and then like certain weather, necessary weather items. But I have stayed within 10 pounds of myself since middle school, and I have all my clothes since middle school. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's just like, I've only collected clothes. I haven't gotten rid of much because these, you know, jeans, they're all within, I'll wear them eventually.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
And I haven't updated my style since middle school either.
No. Yeah. I'm so impressed with your ability to keep clothes for 20 years. It's incredible.
I mean, it feels nice that 90s fashion is back around, but I've just been uncool the whole time. You know what I mean? Like, it's just been like, I'm like, this will come back. And people are like, it's never going to come back. And now I'm just like, yo, I still have my flare.
You know, it's back, cardigan and tank tops.
Guys, I don't even have to buy anything. I am on a get rid of shit kick. Like, I've gotten rid of bags.
That changes season, isn't it? It's just like, oh, I'm never going to need these winter clothes again. It'll never be cold again.
It's more like it's now been two winters and I haven't worn this sweater. I think I hate this sweater. Yeah. I think this sweater makes me angry. And then it doesn't fold correctly and it always falls when I try to get my other sweaters. And it's like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, just get, leave. Get out of my life. I have a bag just right beside me full of clothes I'm going to take to the charity shop.
How long has that been sitting there, Maria?
Two seasons ago.
It actually made me feel good to know that what we do as city people is like, we have a bag and it just kind of takes up space and makes you angry. Everybody else just does that with their car. Like, they just have it, they have it in the back of their car, their trunk of the car. And I was like, oh, that makes me feel better. So everybody's putting it off. They just have an extra room, you know.
When you have a car, it's so easy because all you have to do is like, there's always like the Volunteers of America, you know, bins that have that like extended, like you could throw it in here and it's kind of a fun game. You feel like you're dumping a body.
So closest I feel to the mafia.
Yeah. But city people, we have to like walk with all of our garbage to the nearest wherever. And it's just more of a chore.
And I swear to God, both mailing packages and donating clothes, I always pick like a national holiday. Like unconsciously, I'm like, it's like Martin Luther King Day. Everything is closed down. And I'm like, I walk to the post office. That's closed. I'm like, well, you know, we have other tasks and chores we can do. And then I like walk to the charity shop and that's closed. And you're just like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
Do a lot more Googling.
Yeah. I think I mentioned that I broke out in psoriasis last episode, but it's just like, it's gotten worse. And I don't think I've not been stressed since the beginning of April. Like, I think every day has been stressful for one reason or another.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I had like one day off in like 4 weeks. And then that day off, we asked our housemate to leave. So it was like,
ooh.
So it was
like,
we do
need to catch up.
So it's just, so it's just, and now I have like my work in progress that I'm doing, but like, it's got more theater than comedy in it. And I still feel the need to make people laugh every 15 seconds, like that comedy. Yeah. You remember the comic strip when you first started, you do an open mic there and they'd be like, you have to get a laugh within 15 seconds. And it's just every 15 seconds, you got to get a laugh. And until then, you're not going to get booked here. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Now that's the internet. Now that's comedy reels.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. It's like with it, like stories have to be 15 seconds. They have to be funny.
If you want to feel a full trajectory of being bullied by the comic strip, which I remember waiting in line. I remember getting passed for late night. I remember all the mean things they said. I remember it all. There's seven people there when I perform there. There's seven people. I mean, they went through bankruptcy. Yeah. That doesn't sound right in my mouth.
It is.
I feel like I hope I never say that about my own life. Yeah. They're like, that it feels foreign because it'll never happen to you. But they went through bankruptcy during COVID. And I feel so ignorant. I was like, bankruptcy means that you're dead, that you're like, you're not a business. And then I remember somebody was like, yeah, I'm at the comic strip. And I was like, but they're dead. They didn't make it. And they're like, no. And I was like, well, I don't think I know what bankruptcy means. They didn't flourish afterwards. Whatever's happening to them, there's seven people every time I perform there.
Jesus. I wonder why.
Because, I mean, a bunch of these clubs, Stand Up New York, Comic Strip, like these places that were the it club when we started, like genuinely, like how people talk about the Cellar now. They're like, do-do-do-do-do. I mean, it's like, it just feels like, you know, the fall of Rome. It's just like you were hot shots. You treated people like garbage. You didn't actually know where your value was, which was probably more into like marketing and your word of mouth or whatever. And then, you know, it's just bad management.
One of like six clubs in New York, though, you'd think it would like flourish. Dangerfield shut down for a bit too, right? And then reopened?
Yeah, now it's reopened. I think it's called Ronnie's. I've never performed at Dangerfield's. I've never even set foot in that.
Never set foot in it. Yeah.
And I'm doing Rodney's, the new name of it, tonight.
Oh, wow. And here I am bringing it up. That's crazy.
Yeah, it is a little crazy. So expectations, I don't know. Do I want to be on the Upper East Side for any reason? I don't. But
yeah. You know. I was talking to the guy who, like, the tour promoter for Jonathan Pye's tour, the one that I opened for at West End. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, I went to New York like 20 years ago, and they only had a few clubs. And I was really surprised. He's like, I didn't realize like London would have more of a comedy scene than New York. And I was like, no. I was like, the difference is New York has a billion rooms. They're like AA meetings. They're everywhere, always, wherever yes. you need one.
Yes.
They don't call them comedy clubs the way they do in the UK. So like if you have a room above a bar in the UK, it's a comedy club, you know? So it seems like they have more actual clubs. But like we have, like New York has more like official clubs, like six clubs, but everywhere else there's just like
every bar, coffee shop. I did a coffee shop like 3 days ago. Like any place where like somebody can like hand somebody a beverage and like a door shuts. And I don't even think you need a door shut. The amount of times of like it's an open bar, people are shouting. You're like, oh, I have jokes about my cat.
Do you remember Tiger's gig where it was just like at an Ethiopian restaurant on 14th Street and people were just eating dinner and he would just start the show?
Dude, I think my second, third, fourth show, I'm a 16-year-old girl, 16, 17 years old. You know, you're just excited that somebody somebody saw you at an open mic and they invited you and you're like, this is it. I'm going to make it. And it was a sushi restaurant, but not even that. It's this tiny sushi restaurant in the West Village. And I am standing in a corner with my back pretty much pressed up against a window in between two tables while people are eating sushi, not knowing a show was happening.
Yeah.
I, one, was happy to be there. Two, ruined people's night, just truly ruined people's night. And I don't ever eat sushi and not think about how weird that was. And that's not even the weirdest gig I've done.
Yeah.
Wild.
That truly is wild. All right. Announcements?
Yeah. We're going on tour.
Going
on tour. It starts May 9th. So next week is when this comes out. So the week this comes out, we're going to be in Edinburgh, Dublin, and London. And then we keep going. So then it's a bunch of cities in Germany. This is like a mostly Germany tour. It's like four or five cities, Berlin, Frankfurt, some other things I don't know how to pronounce. Amsterdam, Brussels, Paris, it's all there. It's all come see us. The only ones that Maria's not going to be at is Hildeburg
and Istanbul.
Those are the only two that Maria's not there. Otherwise, we are touring together. It's going to be fun. Ticket links, lizmealy.com. Come see us. I have a new hour called Space Camp. So even if you saw my newest special, Murder Sheets, this is a completely new hour. Please watch Murder Sheets. I appreciate everybody that's watched it. If you have watched it, share it with the world. Share, share, share. And will this, oh, your thing is, your thing will have passed, right? Your,
yeah, yeah, okay. That's so that I don't really have anything to promote except our tour.
Our tour. Come see us, our tour. Oh, Luxembourg, we're doing it all. We're all over Europe. Come see us. Tune on Doctors. This is where, like, I'm like, Danny will fix this. Good.
Yeah, but if you're listening, it's at Tune on Doctors. It's the number 2 forward doctors on Twitter and YouTube. And that's also our Gmail. And then Instagram is at Tune on DRS. We have like an email looking for non-medical advice is the subject. Ooh. You want to try it?
Yeah, let's do it.
I think he's actually looking for medical advice, but like knows that we're not the people to go to. Disclaimer.
So in New York City, it's actually, I think one of the best things that we have is 311. So 311 is like you find out about street cleaning. You know, if you want to report like noise pollution or like, you know, your landlord being a piece of shit, you call 311. But I think it's so funny that you call 311 and they're like, this isn't 911. If you have a real emergency, and I almost feel like that should be ours, where we're like, hi, you could tell us your medical problems, but please call the real 911. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Please don't ever listen to us for actual advice. We know that, but I'm going to say it just to avoid the suing. I love how your 311 is an absolute New Yorker. This is 311. If you have an actual emergency, call 911. We're not
for you.
Don't be a fucking moron.
yeah. Don't fucking whisper it to a rat. He's not going to help you.
All right. It's from Dimitri. He says, hey, glad you're back. You two are a rare ray of sunshine in these dark and depressing times we live in. Thank you.
Dimitri.
He's 2 questions. 1, any tips for knee health, specifically how to avoid jumper's knee or runner's knee if stopping the sport you're doing is not an option, or any pain, any supplements or workout routine stretches one has to do during warm up?
I know the answer.
Oh, good. Cause I know fuck all about knees.
Yeah. Okay. So for that one, so the thing is you have to strengthen the muscle. That's not helpful. Okay.
Maybe Danny can put in a diagram.
Yeah, Danny, put in a knee. Okay. So if this is
my, I'll try finger, to draw it. It's like, please don't listen to us.
Yeah. So if my knuckle is the knee, you have to strengthen the muscle above the knee. So doing lunges actually really helps. So, you know, just like kind of lunges, you know, if work on your control, you want to do them slow. And if not, put something under so you're not banging your other knee on the ground. But lunges are really helpful. And just in anything you can do to kind of strengthen that above the knee, and that'll hopefully help with like runner's knee. And then stretching in general, I mean, there's the typical runner stretch, which is like, everything's with my hands, where you bend this little leg in like here. And then you kind of one side. I'm trying to think of some other ones.
Sorry, so you're saying your knee is bent behind you while you're lying down and
not bent behind you. It's just kind of like tucked in. Like think about like if you were doing.
Okay. Like so, you have tree pose, but you're sitting.
Yeah. Exactly. Great visual. So yeah, and then the other thing is that you don't want to stretch anything cold. Like think of gym class. That's like everything about gym class was wrong. Go for a little walk a little bit or like just kind of loosen things up a little bit. And then you want to do stretches, or after you're done, do stretches. There's also this, I've read 2 of his books and he has stuff online. His name is Peter Agoscue. I think even if you spell it however you think it's spelled, you can find it online. But he basically, his whole thing is about alignment and how most pain is because you're out of alignment. So like if something is hurting, it's because your hips are not aligned or whatever. So think about like running, you know, the way you kind of strike can put you out of alignment, how you're sitting. Like they even say something as simple as like men will sit on their wallet. Right. And now you've been sitting your whole life a little bit higher up. So Peter Agoscue, he has like clinics all over the US if you're in the US. But if you're not, I've read his book. So his last name is EGOSCUE. And like I said, he has clinics, but like, I think he has like a lot of free stuff on his website or whatever. And then I have, I think, two of his books. But that's, I highly, highly recommend.
Nice.
He's the smart one.
Okay. My second question, which we'll go through a lot faster. I'm finally getting Invisalign and want to get a good start. I remember Liz telling that she got cavities with Invisalign. Any other tips, other flossing, other, I think he means other than flossing after every meal.
Oh, so truly you need to carry a toothbrush with you. Like, it sucks.
Yeah.
But you need to brush your teeth, like brush and floss your teeth after every meal before you put it back in. Like,
can I just say it's a lifelong commitment? Like, you have to wear a retainer for the rest of your life. And I think I don't know how crooked your teeth are. I feel like my teeth were basically fine and I just wanted them a little bit straighter. But now I have to be, I've committed to this thing every night for the rest of my life. Or I've wasted my money. So just know that, like, if you're not that crooked, don't even bother.
That, I mean, that's valid. I'm glad I did it, even with the fact that it feels like it like turned my life into a cavity person when I wasn't a cavity person. But the biggest issue. So this is what I remember. I got braces as a kid. I got them off when I was 15 and I had them for like a really long time. And my mom actually kind of learned that like this doctor just was like scamming us and would like, you really don't need them that long. And we always had them like twice as long as most people. So anyway, but the thing is your teeth are constantly moving and you're supposed to wear your retainer. So like I got my braces off and I was like, freedom. I was 15 years old. I was like, freedom. He's like, wear your retainer. I was like, fuck off. And like, I didn't. Like I wore it. Like, I think I wore it like one day and I was like, why would I fucking wear this? And I deeply regret it because if I just even wore it at night for a couple of years, you can kind of, you know, get it. So with Invisalign, I was like, I'm paying a lot of money. It really did help my overbite. I was very grateful for it. But the reason I was continuing to get cavities when I was only wearing it at night is apparently I have acid reflux when I sleep. And it was like going into my Invisalign and like rotting my teeth. So I wanted to get like a regular retainer, one that was just like kind of, you know, like the bar, but I just never did it. So I wore my retainer pretty much every night for I think 3 years. And then I stopped doing it because it was like rotting my mouth. So I actually don't think it needs to be forever. But I do think a substantial amount of time afterwards, you need to wear the retainer as a way to kind of be like, this is what our, like, lock it in. Like, this is who we are now.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for writing in, Dimitri. If anybody else has any questions or comments that are nice, write to us. TuneOnDoctors@gmail.com.
Yeah. Googles?
Googles.
Googly Googs. Do you want to go first?
I will because mine's dumb.
Okay, great.
Yeah. So basically, I Googled how to get your stomach to stop growling.
Okay.
My stomach was growling. Like, I don't know, because I took a bunch of, like, I took a probiotic, I took vitamin D, biotin, and then a magnesium and oregano oil pill all at the same time. And I think it fucked my stomach up because my stomach was like, yeah, it was after food.
Okay.
So it was like, and my stomach was like, blah, 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 blah. Like, I had a lot to say. And I was like, I was like, how do I stop this? But, and then like the articles were like, oh, chew slowly and thoroughly and avoid sugar and alcohol and acidic foods. And I'm like, that's not what I want to know. I want to know how to like make it shut up now. And I found one article that was like ginger. And I was like, great, I have ginger. And I made some ginger tea, which is fantastic. If you can get some fresh ginger and put it in water and then with some honey and let it sit for a while and it gets all spicy, it's good shit.
Yeah.
And I had that and actually it worked. My stomach stopped growling. I mean, it wasn't like feeling great, but it wasn't being loud.
So. And ginger, just, it's good for your throat. It's good for, I do think it like calms the stomach or whatever. But do we even know why either the vitamins or like?
No, I Googled. No, I didn't. I didn't look into it. I assumed it was like the probiotic mixing with like the oregano oil or something. And it was just.
I do. There's like two camps on probiotics, both in the sense that you should like ease into them and just like to start it can sometimes like jolt your body. I've always done a probiotic on an empty stomach, and almost all the other ones, I think like 90% of my other vitamins are on a full stomach. And sometimes taking the probiotic on an empty stomach can kind of help with that because it can. I do think it's of all the vitamins, I think it's truly the most important one, but it can
But it wasn't like my
gastrologically.
first time taking it. So I've been taking it for a couple of weeks and it's always been fine. But I've
Oh, so you think
my
maybe
first
the
time taking it
mixing.
with the oregano oil, and I think that mixing it was.
Oregano oil is no joke.
No, it's no joke. Do you know I vaped it once? I think I mentioned this on the podcast years ago. I accidentally vaped oregano oil because I had it. It wasn't like a
Oh,
pill. I had it as
yeah.
like a tincture, like as a it
Yeah,
looked
which I
like
don't know how you did that because it's disgusting.
Oh,
It's
it
disgusting.
try vaping it. Oh, that shit hurt. Because it looked like vape juice. So I like put that in my little vape pen and I was like, ah, this is gonna be bad. It
And did
was
it ruin your
so,
vape pen?
no.
I mean, truly, even as a pill, it's pretty disgusting.
Yeah. Because so everything gets stuck in my throat too. So that
Oh,
pill will
yeah.
like, I could start tasting it in my throat and I'm like, it's burning my throat. It's horrible. It's
Well,
horrible.
oregano oil is gross.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, ginger tea is the solution to all tum tum issues.
What you
Okay,
got?
my Google's really sad. Let's see. Does depression ramp up? Like,
What you
does it like, you know, what's the, I like, believe me, I tried Googling it like six different ways, but does like it like kind of build over time? Like, does it like,
Like
so
snowball effect, it getting worse and worse.
yeah, but like it doesn't even feel like snowball. Like it just feels like, I'm trying to think of like a good example. Think of it just like a pile of laundry. Like one day, you know, you throw like your underwear and your jeans, and then the next day there's some socks and more underwear. And the next, like, it just feels like it's building on top of each other to the point where I just have like a huge bag of undone laundry, which is a great representation of depression.
Yeah, it is. Also, I don't understand how that's not snowballing, but I guess it, anyway, well, I'm sorry. So
I guess I just don't see depression. You're not wrong. This is all Liz
it's not really
visuals.
what I should have been focusing on. I should have been like, are you
Doesn't.
okay?
I'm not great.
Like,
I'll be
no.
fine. So first, you know, I think this is sad, but when you're like, am I depressed? Let's find out. Symptoms of depression: lasting sad, anxious, or empty mood. Check. Feelings of hopelessness and pessimism. Check. Feeling guilt, worthlessness, and helplessness. Check. Feeling irritable and restless. Check. Loss of interest in hobbies and activities. Check. Loss of energy. Check. Problems concentrating, recalling details, and making decisions. Check. I was like, oh no. Like, I
Oh
genuinely,
no.
I'm like, oh no. Shit, emotions. I can't stop crying. And that's what's like so weird is like I've had depressive episodes my entire life. And I have a greater understanding, and I definitely feel like when I was on birth control, my depression was, I don't ever want to go back to that. I don't think I've ever felt the type of the it was long lasting and it was like hard. And I feel like since I've been off birth control, I think almost 10 years, I think like 9 years, and the few depressive episodes I've had. First of all, I don't get them. I don't get depressive episodes as frequently, and I don't feel like they last as long, and I don't feel like they're as like heavy. And I don't know if that's like hormones mixed with depression. So anyway, I was like, but it was weird because I've been feeling just sad for weeks, like just kind of sad and anxious, right? And then in the last week, I can't stop crying. Like I just can't, like Evan was in LA. He called me and asked me how I was. I started hysterically crying. We talked for like an hour and then he hung up the phone and I cried for 4 hours. And
Shit.
there's something I read this was maybe like 10, 11 years ago. I read something that's like, when you're sad, you cry, but you cry for about 20 minutes. Anything more than 20 minutes is you want to be sad or you're depressed. And I'm sure there's some wiggle room in that definition, but it's pretty true. Like, I've been sad or frustrated or annoyed, and it's like you cry and then you vent and then you move on with your day. And, you know, especially like breakups and stuff, you come in and out. But when I've been depressed, it's like, no, we live here now. This is where we live. What's weird is like the ramp up thing. It basically is like, yes, depression can get worse if it isn't treated. But like, I don't know. I mean, I started talking to my therapist again. I'm not taking care of myself. I know what it is. You know, I didn't know that's what was happening. I was like, I'm just sad. And then when I cried for 4 hours, I was like, oh no.
This is beyond sad. Yeah.
And like, I can be like that. Like, I can laugh at myself. I can still like make jokes. I mean, I make jokes even when I'm like fucking sad, but like, anyway, it then led to me to an article called Sad in the Summer? You have summer seasonal depression. Summer seasonal affective disorder is not as well known as winter sad, but it holds a higher risk for suicide and may become more prevalent with climate change. I'm not suicidal. I would like that to be clear. But it was because the one thing I understand, because like, you know, clearly mental illness runs in my family, but there is like a springtime effect in my family. Like, everyone in my family right now is depressed. Like, and like my brother, who has bipolar one, like he is on a cycle. And whenever he would have a psychotic break, it was always in the spring. Like, I wonder, might be my next Google. I wonder if there's like systemic cycles within genetics, right? Because like, springtime is a hard time for my family. And I do think there's like life events that have caused this. I don't think it's just like the sun is out and I'm like, I don't like it. Like, I don't think that's what it is. But yeah, then I just started reading all about summer sadness. And it's actually kind of interesting because, I mean, this I don't think applies to me. But so it says symptoms of winter and summer sad appear to be different. They are both marked as sad mood and reduced feelings of pleasure. But winter depression patients tend to oversleep, overeat, and feel sluggish. The summer ones in many ways are the opposite. So they're not as hungry, less appetite, insomnia. So I thought that was like interesting. And then it went on to talk about how like the sun makes them sad, like the light seems to agitate them. And it was just like, I don't know. I was like reading it and I was like, yo, this is crazy. But there more people are affected clearly by the seasonal depression most people are affected by is the winter one. But, and I don't even know if that's what this is. I just fell into a wormhole of.
So nothing was triggered. Nothing triggered it. You just kind of found yourself.
Oh, no, mine was triggered.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. I've had depressive episodes that aren't triggered. And I have to say those are like confusingly unfun because you're just like, you can't say anything to anybody.
Yeah, when Johnny, when he's, I guess, depressed, but whenever, I don't know, whenever his mood's down, I don't want to like say what he's feeling, but
yeah,
he's always like, it's like the weather. It's just, you know, it's just that it's a rainy day. And like, yeah, however long it lasts, but like he sort of like detaches from it and tries to see it that way. Like, it'll pass, but you know.
And that's, I mean, I don't know if this is like experience, you know what I mean? It'll pass. It sucks. I think the hardest part is you don't know when it'll pass. I've been depressed for a week. I've been depressed for months or longer. I think I was kind of like a low grade depressed for most of my teens and 20s. I definitely know the difference. I think what was hard is that, like, I knew that I was stressed about work and overwhelmed, and it came in as anxiousness. And so I was like overwhelmed and anxious. So I was just like, well, I'm overwhelmed and anxious, which is making me, when I'm not, like, when I am able to relax, I'm just kind of exhausted and sad. And then even when I got out from under kind of the overwhelmed, anxious part, I was just left with sadness. And then I don't know, it just got really bad last week. And like, I'm fine. I know what to do. You know what I mean? Like, I started talking to my therapist. I've talked to my boyfriend about it. You know, I think the other hard part is everybody, like, my life is fine enough. And I have a lot of friends that their life isn't fine enough. So it's like really hard to be like, I cry every day. And they're just like, everything's broken. And you're like, I'm going to be
okay. I know what you mean. Yeah.
And not to say, like, I also understand that my feelings have value and blah, blah, blah. And I'm, you know, not dealing with it. But it's so, I don't know, it's so weird to be depressed in a time when your life is fine.
Yeah, I get that. But, you know,
but that's also isn't that what mental illness is? You know what I mean? Like, if I show the starkness of like my brother is seeing people that aren't there and like, you know, his brain's, it's just like, I don't need to be like, but you're doing well in school, bud. Or it's like, you know what I mean?
Logic,
like,
doesn't really play a factor into it. It's just,
of course,
you know, yeah. I've had a lot on my plate as far as like dealing with like, you know, my dad's death and my mom and all that. And I'm just like going through life as if I'm fine. And my skin's like, no, you're not.
Exactly. Oh, girl, I'm sorry. You're acting like it's okay. We're going to remind you that it's not. And we're going to give you another problem. How about feeling sad while itchy? Have you tried that? And you're like, like, no, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, there's no logic to it, you know? And it's, yeah, so it's like, it's good that you have the tools. You've been in therapy for years. Like, you can kind of see the forest for the trees with it, and you're talking to people and all that. And I hope it passes soon, and I'm sorry you're feeling depressed.
It's all good. It is kind of weird, though, like, where you're just like, I wonder if I'm depressed. And then I Googled it, and I was like, oh, no.
check.
Like not crying on the train or like can't sleep or anything.
You like might
not
as well like, be like, are you Liz Mealy? And you're like, oh no.
Oh no. Oh no. Oh man. I was crying on the train this morning. That's where I am. I truly cannot read. I can't hear certain songs. I sent my little sister a song. I was like, hey, I really like the song, but it's sad, or I'm sad. You let me know. I don't know. I cry every time I listen to it. Like, I was like, I don't know. She's like, it's a sad song. I was like, okay, well, I think it's holding me right now.
It seems happy right now. So that's
yeah,
not sad.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So I'm listening. Oh, sorry. Oh,
it's just that we're about to get cut off.
Okay. Well then, you know, you don't need to hear about me crying on the train, guys. That's what the train is for. If anybody's having a meltdown, don't do it by yourself. Do it on a train where somebody looks at you and immediately puts their head down. They're like, oh, she's having a moment.
So New York.
Thank you for listening. We'll try to cram in another one before we're on tour, and then we'll have some weird, wacky tour episodes. So
yeah, that's gonna be exciting. All right, thanks, guys.
Bye.